John chapter 4. And our text for this evening is the verse 4. Short verse. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, he must needs go through Samaria. During the Savior's public ministry, he had personal encounters with individuals from time to time. We know, of course, that most of the time he preached to multitudes. Multitudes attended to his ministry. But then, on other occasions, he only spoke to the one and the two. This shows us the humility of the Lord Jesus, that he did not court the multitudes to preach to them, but was willing to take time for the ones and the twos. For example, in chapter 3 of John, the Lord spoke to an individual there. He spoke to Nicodemus, just the Lord and Nicodemus. Now we come to chapter 4, and the Lord here speaks with a woman, the woman of Samaria. There's no one else around, just the Lord and this woman. And when we consider the two interviews, we can see that there's quite a contrast between the two that we have recorded in chapter 3 and chapter 4. In chapter 3, the Lord is ministering to Nicodemus in Judea. In chapter 4, he's in Samaria. In the one interview, he's speaking with a man. In the other, he's of course speaking with a woman. He met with Nicodemus, a Jew, and then he met with this woman, a Samaritan. Nicodemus was a person of high moral standard. But this woman, Samaria, was a woman of low repute. But the wonderful truth is that the Lord received and saved both of them, Nicodemus and the woman of Samaria. And certainly when we consider this woman and what she was before she met the Savior, we have another example of a remarkable conversion. I want first of all to consider the woman meeting Christ. The woman meeting with Christ. This woman obviously had not planned to meet with the Savior that day, but had come with her water pots to draw water. She may not have planned to meet the Lord, but the Lord planned to meet with her. He must needs go through Samaria. I want you to notice, first of all, his plan. He must needs go through Samaria. That was his plan. When Abraham went out from Ur of the Chaldees, we are told in Hebrews 11:8, he went out not knowing whither he went. It certainly could not be said about the Lord Jesus. He knew where he was going. If you look there in the verse 3, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Galilee. Look at verse 46. And Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee. Now from Jerusalem to Galilee is a distance of about 100 miles. But he must needs go through Samaria. That was his plan. Regarding his plan, we notice his desire. Yes, the Lord had a work to do in Cana of Galilee, but he must needs go through Samaria, because there was a person that he knew he would meet with. There was a soul there that needed to be saved. There was a woman there who needed to be delivered out of her immoral living. Sure, isn't that why he came into the world? He came into the world for the same purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. And as he came into the world, he did so with a burning desire to save lost souls. That was his desire. When the Father sent him into the world, he didn't come in reluctantly, but he came willingly and with a desire to win souls and save them by his death on Calvary. As well as his desire, we notice his determination. He must needs go through Samaria. I say determination. For many of the Jews of Judea, because of their hatred for the Samaritans, would not have gone that way. No. They would go instead through Perea, the province east of Jordan. They would have avoided that area. But no such prejudice existed in the heart of Christ. He must needs go through Samaria because there was a soul there that he needed to meet with and save. And didn't the dear Savior show that same determination when he came into the world to save your soul and mine? Sure, he knew all about the hatred and the hostility that he would face when he came into the world, but he came anyway. And just as he must needs go through Samaria, so he must needs come into the world. He must needs come into the world if you and I were to be saved. He must needs go through Samaria if this woman was to be saved. He must needs go through Samaria. I was thinking there a week or so ago about a series of messages that I could preach on the musts of the Master. The things the Lord Jesus must do. And here's another one. In John 3 and verses 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He must needs go through Samaria to meet with and to save this woman of Samaria. And the Lord Jesus must come into the world if you and I are to be saved. And the Lord Jesus must be lifted up if you and I are to be saved. He must needs come into the world to save the souls of his elect. And the determination, bathed in divine love, brought the Lord Jesus into this world to save us. So there's the desire. Must needs go through Samaria. There's his determination. He must needs go through Samaria. Then we have not only the desire and the determination, but the distance. The dear Savior traveled great distances to minister to poor lost souls. And from Jerusalem, as we've already said, from Jerusalem to Cana of Galilee, it's approximately 100 miles. No public transport then. We don't read of him riding on a beast of burden. He walked it. He walked. He walked 100 miles. And he must needs go through Samaria. And to go to Sychar was approximately 30 miles. So leaving Judea and going through Samaria and coming to Sychar was a distance of about 30 miles. And of course, as I said, he did it on foot. So the Lord must needs go through Samaria, and no matter what the distance was, he would go through Samaria. Why? Because there was a soul there he needed to meet with and tell her about everlasting life. But no man, no individual has ever traveled a greater distance than the Lord Jesus when he left the bosom of the Father and came into this world to save sinners like you and me. That was a great distance indeed. So regarding the woman meeting with Christ, we have looked at the plan. It was his plan. He must needs go through Samaria. As well as the plan, we notice the place. The place. Well, we are told that this meeting took place at Jacob's well or Jacob's spring. Read there in verse 5, and then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So he met the woman at Jacob's well. Very interesting that. Very interesting that he met this woman of Samaria at a well. There are some interesting meetings that took place at wells that we read about in Scripture. It was at a well that the servant of Abraham first met Rebekah. Rebekah became the wife of Isaac, Genesis 24. It was at a well where Jacob met Rachel, who became his wife, Genesis 29, verses 9 and 10. And it was while he sat by a well that Moses met Zipporah. And Zipporah became the wife of Moses, Exodus 2, verses 15 and 21. And isn't it interesting then? We have those three incidents where individuals met their future husbands at a well. And here is this meeting that took place at a well between the Lord Jesus and the woman of Samaria. And what took place there? Well, just as there was a union that was entered into by Rebekah and Isaac, by Rachel and Jacob, by Zipporah and Moses, so there was a relationship that was entered into by the woman of Samaria and Christ at the well. That relationship involved the woman of Samaria becoming a child of the Lord, being in a spiritual sense married to Christ. And you think again about those three incidents plus this one here we have in John 4. Rebekah's life was changed when she met Isaac. Rachel's life was changed when she met Jacob. Zipporah's life was changed when she met and married Moses at a well. And this woman of Samaria, her life was changed when she met Christ at a well. Regarding this meeting, we've seen the plan and the place. Next, let us consider the paths. The path of Christ and the path of the woman. We are told that to that well there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, verse 7. But we read in verse 5, the Lord cometh to a city of Samaria. So there's the Lord coming to the city of Samaria and coming to the well, and there's the woman coming to the well. And there's the path of the two of them. The Lord came from one direction, the woman came from another direction, and they both met at the well. Providence of God again. The Savior would have walked 25 to 30 miles, the woman perhaps a much shorter distance, but their paths met at the well. The woman did not know that she would meet the Lord there that day. She hadn't gone there to seek the Lord, but he had gone there seeking her. It's a wonderful story, isn't it? Reminding us of the Lord's words by the prophet, "I am found of them that sought me not." Woman of Samaria wasn't seeking the Lord when she went to the well, but she was found by the Lord. "I am found of them that sought me not." Isaiah 65 verse 1. But notice something here in verses 6 and 7. The Lord arrived at the well first. Now he knew he was going to meet the woman. He must needs go through Samaria. And the Lord arrived at the well first. And so the Lord's at the well first, and what's he doing there? He's waiting for the woman to come to him. Isn't that what the Lord does? Isn't the Lord waiting for sinners to come to him? Isn't that so true today, how the Lord is waiting for men and women to come by his grace to come unto him? For he has issued that invitation. He has issued the invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's the invitation. And he's waiting for sinners to come. The Lord reached the well first, and he sat on the well, and he was waiting for the woman to come to him. So we have noted then the woman meeting Christ. Want to notice then, secondly, the woman ministered to by Christ. How he ministered to her. If you want to know anything about soul winning, look at the Lord. The dear Savior was said by Nicodemus that he was a teacher come from God. That's the Lord, a teacher come from God. Well, of course, as a teacher, he's expert in every subject, including soul winning. And when it comes to witnessing and winning souls, we can learn much from Christ. And here is a perfect example of that. When the Lord Jesus first spoke to the woman who came to fill her water pots with water, and we notice how the Lord introduced himself and introduced the subject of everlasting life. Notice first of all his introduction. He wants to speak to her about spiritual matters. And so he begins. Remember, she's coming to the well to draw water. And the Lord says to her, "Give me to drink." Verse 7. She responded by speaking to him about the differences between Jews and Samaritans. For she says there in the verse 9, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." It's as if she's saying, "Why are you speaking to me? I'm a Samaritan. You are a Jew." But the Lord was only interested in her soul. He wasn't interested in any political debate between the two of them. He wasn't interested in any kind of sectarianism. He was interested in this woman's soul and introducing himself to her. Isn't that what we should be ready to do, to introduce Christ to sinners? No, the Lord, as was said, wasn't interested in arguing with her. And speaking about the difference that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. He was only interested in winning her soul. She had come to draw water, so he asked her for a drink, in order that he might tell her about how she could have the living water. This was the Savior's way of speaking to her about spiritual matters. The Lord is the master of all things. He's the master in speaking to others about himself and about salvation and about eternal life. Over in John chapter 6, we read there about bread. And what did the Lord do when he spoke to those who were sitting under his ministry? You look there in John 6 and verse 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. The Lord had fed the 5,000. And the people had followed him. And he said, you're not here because of the miracle. You're here because you got fed and were filled. Now what did the Lord do then? He was talking about the bread that he had fed the multitude with. He goes on then to say in verse 27, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. See? Labor not for the meat that perisheth, the meat that you got, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. See how he introduced spiritual subject. Speaking to them about everlasting life. And before he was finished, we read in verse 35, he introduced himself to them and he said to them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. If you're hungry, come and I will satisfy you, for I am the bread of life. He brought the conversation round, or the subject around, in dealing with spiritual matters, everlasting life. That's what he did with the woman at the well. He asked her for a drink of water, and then he told her about living water. She wanted to know about living water, and he developed it further and told her about everlasting life. As well as the introduction, we notice also his instruction. Having introduced himself to her, he then develops the subject and goes on to speak about living waters. Verses 13 and 14. And he, 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That is the water in the well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. There he's on the subject. Didn't take him long to get to the subject of everlasting life. And so here the Lord speaks to her first of all about her salvation. Everlasting life. He's telling her, you need everlasting life. And I'm the one to give you that everlasting life. He was the only one For he said, I shall give, I shall give. You read it there in those verses. I shall give, I shall give. She may have been a Samaritan, hated by the Jews, but not by Christ. And whether Jew or Gentile, bond or free, all need God's salvation. All need everlasting life. Notice, verse 14, the Lord used the word whosoever. Whosoever. That's who may, by the grace of God, claim the gift of God, which Christ offered in verse 10. He offered the gift. For he says in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I'll give you the living water. I'll give you everlasting life. I'll give it to you as a gift. By the grace of God, whosoever, whosoever shall ask the Lord for everlasting life, he'll not deny them. He'll not hold back the gift. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, whosoever, Protestant, Roman Catholic, Muslim, Hindu, whosoever, they all need the Lord. They all need everlasting life. They all need salvation. And Christ is the only one who can give everlasting life. And that whosoever included the woman of Samaria. As well as the Lord dealing with this matter and instructing the woman, he dealt with her salvation. And then he spoke about her satisfaction. The Lord told her that the water that he would give her would be water that satisfies. We've just read those verses in 13 and 14. If you drink of the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. In other words, when I give you everlasting life, you'll be satisfied. You'll not need to go looking for something to satisfy. Of course, the Lord always gives that which satisfies. As David said in Psalm 107 and verse 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Isn't it true that the unconverted, worldly individual is in an endless search for that which satisfies their longing. As the prophet said in Isaiah 55 verse 2, prophet said, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? That's the world, whether it's drink or drugs. Nothing satisfies. Yes, I know the pleasures of sin, but they're only for the season. And then the search starts again. Only Christ can satisfy the thirsty and the hungry soul. It is true, when a soul receives Christ, they're able to say, O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown, now none but Christ can satisfy. Another name for me, there's love and life and everlasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. So as the Lord instructed this woman, spoke to her about her salvation, he spoke to her about her satisfaction, and he spoke to her about her seeking. When the Lord told her that he could give her that which satisfied, we see what she said. Verse 15, she said, Sir, give me this water. She shows an interest in what Christ had to offer her. He was offering her everlasting life, pictured there in the living water, and she says, "Sir, give me this water." There's her interest. And she's seeking. She's seeking now for that which satisfies. And the Lord said that He would give her that which satisfies. And now she said, "Well, give it to me." She's asking. She perhaps didn't fully understand what Christ meant. But nevertheless, she's asking for the water that will satisfy her. She fully acknowledged that Christ was the giver of everlasting life, and in that life there was a life which satisfies. Praise the Lord. And so she says, "Sir, give me this water." In other words, she was saying, "Give me the gift of eternal life." And the Lord would not withhold from her that which she sought. Lord will never do that. As well as dealing with her salvation, her satisfaction, and her seeking, now He dealt with her sin. When the Savior was wearied with the journey, we're told He sat down on the well. And He needed a drink. Needed a drink of water because He was weary. What does that show us? What does that teach us? It teaches us that Christ is man. Speaks of His humanity. His humanity. He'd walk quite a distance. He must needs go through Samaria. When He came to Jacob's well, He was weary. He was thirsty. That highlights His humanity. But then, we see here that He reveals to the woman His deity. For when we're speaking about her sin, look at verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." She was a sinful woman. The Lord spoke to her about her sin. The Lord was able to tell her, "Thou hast had five husbands, and the one whom thou now hast is not thy husband." You're living in sin. You're living in sin. How did the Lord know all of that? Because He's God. He's the God-man. We see His humanity in the fact that He was weary and He was thirsty. And we see His deity in the fact that He knew all about the woman. In fact, later when she went back into the town, she said, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" He's the God-man. And He revealed to this woman her sin. Now, He has spoken to her about eternal life. But before she could have eternal life, she had to confess her sin. And that's what she did. For she told the Lord, "I have no husband." And Jesus saith unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." So she was honest. She was honest about her sin. She was honest. when it comes to receiving the gift of eternal life, there needs to be honesty on the part of the sinner. And the sinner has to come and confess their sin. That's what the woman did. She confessed her sin. And what does the Word of God say? We confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That applies to believers. It certainly applies to sinners. We confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As well as the introduction, as well as the instruction, we have now the identification. The Lord now identifies Himself, revealing to her who He is, revealing His identity to her. Verse 19, the woman saith unto Him, Sir, I perceive that Thou art a prophet. Notice the change in the woman. She first of all simply referred to Him as a Jew. Now she calls Him Sir. Now she perceives He's a prophet. And verse 25, the woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Look carefully at verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. The word He is in italics. What did the Lord say to her? The Lord said to her, I am. I am Jehovah. She said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I am. He revealed to her that He is God. And only God can give eternal life. She acknowledges that she believed Him to be the Messiah. Verse 29. And evidently she had received Him to be her Messiah and to be her Savior. And for anyone to be saved, that's what they must acknowledge, who Christ is. No one can be saved if they deny the deity of Christ. No, sir. We read in Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must believe who Christ is. And this woman believed that He was Messiah, the Christ, the anointed Savior. We've considered the woman meeting with Christ, the woman in the ministry of Christ. And then in closing we have the woman and her message about Christ. After receiving Christ as Savior, she wasted no time in telling others. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? There she's confessing Christ. He told me all things that ever I did. This is the Christ. She's owning her Lord. But notice a little detail there in the verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She left her water pot. In other words, she came to the well with a burden, perhaps on her shoulder. It was the water pot to put water in. But when she left the well, she left the burden behind her. She left the water pot behind. And that simply speaks to us how this woman left her burden of sin behind when she received Christ as her Savior. We see that this woman witnessed for the Savior. She didn't keep what had happened to her to herself, but she went and told others about it. Isn't that what we should do also? Tell others what the Lord has done for us. May not be able to preach, but we can give a word of testimony. We can give a word of testimony to the unsaved. Just tell them what the Lord has done for us. That's exactly what that woman did. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord wants us to do that. For we read in Mark chapter 5 and verse 18 regarding the man who was called Legion. He wanted to go with the Lord. But the Lord said, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. That's what the Lord told him to do. And that's what he did. He went and told, were told, his friends. That's what the woman did. For she went into the city. And the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith, who? To the men. This woman was familiar with the men of the city. We've already noted that. Those are the first people she went to. First people she went to. Told them about the Savior. She was a witness for the Savior. And she was a winner of souls. Remarkable conversion. She was a winner of souls. Those whom she witnessed to came to a saving knowledge of Christ. Look at verse 30. And they went out. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. The people that the woman witnessed to, they came out of the city and went unto him where the Lord was there at the well. And verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. See, she was a winner of souls. She was a witness for the Savior. May we do the same. As the hymn writer has it, will there be any stars in my crown? When at evening the sun goeth down, when I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? Certainly quite a number of stars in this woman's crown. Because we're told many of the Samaritans, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Remarkable conversion. And she was the means of seeing others converted to Christ as well. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let us pray. Dear loving and gracious God, we bow humbly once again before thee. thank Thee, Lord, for the instruction of Thy Word. You know, Lord, there is much there in that chapter. Indeed, every chapter in the Bible. And, oh Lord, we know that it is a treasure chest of precious things. Precious teachings. Oh Lord, use the Word even in our own lives tonight. Have us to be a winner of souls. May others enter into the kingdom through our witness. Lord, write the Word upon our hearts this evening. Be with us now as we part the one from the other and make our way home. And again, dear Lord, heal the sick of our church family. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.